From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
That's right. You are listening to the Fromer Travel Show on this beautiful, beautiful day. I'm Pauline Fromer.
And I'm Jason Cochran.
And you might have noticed a delay there because, Jason, where are you right now?
I am doing the research for the next Fromer's Orlando guide. So I'm in Orlando. I'm on the 10th floor of the JW Marriott Grand Lakes, looking over a beautiful expanse of green, watching the Florida afternoon thunderstorms begin to roll in.
Oh, boy. Wow. Is it humid there or is it nice?
Is it humid there?
Of course it is. What am I thinking? Well, with that in mind, today's question of the day is going to be about the fact that we live in a darn great place to vacation. I'm talking about the New York City area. I'm in the heart of New York City right now. Our studios are right above Penn Station. I know we're heard in 17 states, so I'm hoping this isn't too focused a question, but what are some of the great road trips from New York City or the New York City area, from New Jersey, from Connecticut? Where are places that you love to go for, say, a long weekend away or just a day or two of a getaway? 800-848-WABC is our number. Give some advice to your fellow listeners. That's 800-848-9222. I actually wrote about this for Fromers.com. We called it Escape from New York, and I came up with a bunch of options, and I'm sure our listeners will too, but one of my favorites, it's about a three-hour drive, but when I have the time, I love to go up to the Berkshires. I love to go to Lenox, Massachusetts, because that's where the Tanglewood Music Festival is, and it's, you know, within easy driving distance of a different festival every single night. You can go to Jacob's Pillow and see dance. You can go to the Williamstown Theater Festival, which is so good that some Broadway shows actually started in Williamstown. You can go to the wonderful Norman Rockwell Museum, and you're up in the mountains. So on Monday, we're going to get socked with Floridian-type weather. It's going to be very humid here in New York, apparently, Jason.
Why couldn't it be the weekend when everyone can get in a pool?
Yeah, I know. That would be the time, I think, to go up to the Berkshire Mountains and enjoy it. But we have some calls coming in. We have some other recommendations. Once again, number is 800-848-9222. Let's turn to Mike in Suffolk County. Hey, Mike, you are live on the Fromer Travel Show.
Hey, how you doing? I think anyone that has the time to drive out to Montauk would be well served. It's great food, beaches, very relaxing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great family experiences out there and lots to do.
But the key is the time to drive out. Sometimes the traffic can be pretty horrendous.
Get on the road early and plan to spend a couple of days out there. I wouldn't suggest making it a day trip unless you really get on the road early and stay late.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in our piece, we recommended also the North Fork of Long Island.
Love the North Fork. Great wine trail, but Greenport is wonderful.
I was going to talk about the wine trail because I don't know if you know this, but there's a kind of white wine called Gewürztraminer. I'm probably decimating that pronunciation.
I think it's Gewürztraminer.
Gewürztraminer. And the white wines of that varietal on the North Fork are considered some of the best in the world. They've really, in not that long a time, have become very expert in that type of wine in particular and in other types of wine. So it's a fun place to go and a little cheaper.
I'll have to check it out. But the North Fork is great. Really good time. Jamesport Brewery, which is out there.
Uh-huh.
A chance to check it out. So hope you guys enjoy and get a chance to get out either the North or South Fork.
And when you go to the South Fork, it's very glamorous. A friend of my daughter went to a friend of hers' country house, and this was a couple of years back. She started a lemonade stand, and she looked up, and there was Martha Stewart as her first customer.
Yeah, I'm more inclined to visit the North Fork, and though if I'm going to go south, I go out to Montauk. It's more relaxed. I'm not a Hamptons-esque kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, well, enjoy. Thank you for calling, Mike. We appreciate it. Let's turn to another Michael. This is Michael from Morristown. Thank you for calling, Michael. Nice to have you on the show.
I thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I have a question. I'm recently planning a trip to Berlin, and one of the problems that I had the last trip I had was to Rome. Uh-huh. And I did that for 7 days, and I found that it was a little bit too much for 7 days.
Uh-huh.
Now, granted, when I went to Paris, I thought 7 days wasn't long enough. So really, my question to you is 7 days too much or just enough for Berlin?
I think Berlin is more akin to Paris than Rome. You have to remember that Berlin, for a long part of its history, was two cities. And so in many ways, it has two of things. It has, you know, two great contemporary art museums. It has all of the stuff around the wall. It has extraordinary concert halls and architectural feats. And you can take day trips from Berlin to some very interesting areas. So I would say a week in Berlin. I don't think you're going to get bored. Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I would easily do that. I think also if you're a nightlife person, Berlin is famous for its all-nightlife, and you're going to need a day or two to recover if you go out dancing all night.
Which is the thing you do in Berlin.
Similar to Paris, I guess, because that had a great nightlife as well. Not as good in Rome, though. I thought the nightlife was better in Paris than in Rome.
Maybe too many Catholic priests and nuns. I don't know.
That could be the issue. You don't know. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, and Rome, you know, it's a fascinating city, but it is in a certain way a kind of parochial capital. It doesn't, you know, it has this extraordinary centuries of history. So you see ancient Roman stuff. You see stuff from the Mussolini era. You see, but you don't see so much of contemporary life in Rome as in the other cities. So I think a week. Absolutely.
Also, Berlin's a great walking city. It's a great city for parks. All around the outside of the city in the countryside are beautiful little places to escape to. So you don't have to just stay in Berlin. It's not like Rome or Paris where you're expected to sort of be in the city. There's a whole wealth of a variety of things to do, from museums to being outdoors.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, and you really helped. Thank you.
Well, call in and tell us how it went.
Certainly will. Thanks
okay.
again.
Okay. Terrific. Thanks. Once again, we're taking your calls, 800-848-9222. The question of the day is, what are some great places right in this area that you should be considering for maybe a day or two away, especially when the weather is this glorious and you want to take advantage of it? And the next one I picked was Newport, Rhode Island.
Oh, sure.
Newport is such a fascinating place because it has this good century and a half, if not two centuries, of maritime history. But what really makes it special is it was the backyard to America's richest families during a very, very a time when the money was flowing. And so they.
But what was it like then?
Well, and they were able to build, you know, the Vanderbilts and their comrades were able to build these mansions that they called ironically cottages. And seeing these great works of architecture, which are filled with some of the best furniture of that period and great works of art from all around the world. I mean,
you think of something like the Breakers, which I think was the Vanderbilt's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Vanderbilts. But that's the closest that America comes, I think, to the great European castles.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's easy to get there. There's great beaches nearby. It doesn't all have to be about history when you're there. There's great opportunities for getting out on the water. I'm a big fan of Newport. And I've been there a lot because my husband went to boarding school there. And all of his boarding school friends get married in Newport. And so there was a couple of years when all our set were getting married where we were there a couple of times a year. And I really felt
like. And we're making it sound like the Hamptons, like it's really exclusive. But the thing I remember most about Newport is there was something there for everybody. It's not necessarily a society town anymore.
Right. Yeah.
You'll find it there, but it's really easy to take your family there and no one feels out of place, as you might do in some areas of the Hamptons.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the clock. We have to have a word from our sponsor. Before we get to that, though, let me remind everybody, Jen is sitting there. She looks bored. She is the person who screens the calls for us, and she would love to talk to you. So would we. 800-848-9222 is the number. Before we go, as I was saying, we have to take a word from our sponsors. One of those is Allianz Travel Insurance, and we're proud to have them as a sponsor of the show because they're there when things go wrong. We try to tell you how to deal with travel when things go well, but things can go wrong when you're on the road. What am I talking about? You might lose luggage. You might have to be medevaced out of a destination, something that can cost tens of thousands of dollars. You could get ill and have to see a doctor. Allianz Travel Insurance has your back for those problems and so many others. To learn more about Allianz Travel Insurance, visit A-L-L-I-A-N-Z, travelinsurance.com. That's A-L-L-I-A-N-Z, travelinsurance.com.
Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, only here where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the Frommer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Frommer. Jason is in Orlando, and we are taking your calls a couple of ways, or your questions, I should say, and your comments on travel. You can either call us at 800-848-9222. I'm also multitasking, so I have Twitter open. Our handle is at Frommers. If you want to tweet me out, that would be great. Or you can always email us. Our email address is frommertravelshow@yahoo.com. But let's get back to the phones. Once again, 800-848-9222. We have Jack from Rockaway, New Jersey on the line. Hey, Jack, thanks for calling.
Yes, hi. How are you? I love your show. It's very, very good.
Thanks. Oh, thank you.
Unfortunately, I'm calling to tell about a very bad incident I had with China Eastern Airlines at JFK Airport. I was denied boarding on their flight because my passport has my middle initial, and my ticket had the full middle name. At the same time, my son had just the opposite, and they were going to leave him on the flight. And I surmised that they wouldn't let me on the flight because they needed my very inexpensively priced business class seat for somebody else. That's what I think is going on here.
Well, I mean,
I have never heard of this happening, and I travel a lot, and I also happen to be a tourism professor.
Oh, really?
So,
wow.
Yeah,
I haven't heard of it happening either, but I've heard that it can happen, that your ticket does have to match the name on your passport, but I would think if it's the same as the initial. Jason, have you ever heard of this happening?
Yeah, I think it's unfair. I happen to go by my middle name, not my first name. And I have this problem a lot because sometimes when you're registering for things, there's only space for a middle initial. And so it's really hard to get all of the documentation to line up for me.
Yeah, they don't even ask for the middle name at all or the middle initial on a lot of the websites when you do an online booking. So
did you finally get there? Did they?
No, we had to scrap our. There's a lot more, things that I tried. We tried calling the travel agent. The counter people at the airport said I should call the travel agent. It turned out that the travel agent couldn't do anything because China Eastern's ticket office was closed, and the people at the counter didn't even know that their ticket office was closed. I mean, frankly, it was a circus. I've never seen anything like
it. Jack, at what point in the process were you denied boarding? Was it at the ticket counter or all the way at the gate?
It was at the ticket counter. They wouldn't let us check in. Yeah, they wouldn't let us check in.
Wow.
And, this was a very complicated trip where we were going to Japan first, and we had, really had to get there. And then I even tried buying another ticket, and they don't have anybody to sell you a ticket except the one way, which was $5,000. So I just gave up. I mean, I was very sad.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that happen, Jack.
Yeah,
you could try and take them to small claims court, but I'm not sure if the law would be on your side. But sometimes just the threat of that may get you some kind of settlement. Obviously, it won't get you the trip. That's gone.
Yeah.
But Sorry to hear about that, Jack. Thank you for calling. It's good for the rest of our listeners to know that this is a possibility.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, but you know, it's one of those things that a lot of people aren't really aware. You have to make sure that the ID that you use matches exactly what's on the ticket, and it's one of those small print details that can make flying so frustrating these days.
Let's turn to Marianne in Queens, New York. Hey, Marianne, thanks for calling.
Hi, Pauline. I just want to say that you are the most gracious radio host I have ever. You really, really are. You are so wonderful to all your callers.
That's very kind. But we're right after Joan Hamburg, and I think she's the queen of graciousness.
She sets us up.
No, she doesn't hold a candle to you, believe me.
Thank you.
Anyway, my suggestion for someplace to go in New York State in the summer is Saratoga.
Hmm.
Of course, not in August because it's very expensive. They race there in August,
right.
But any other month, it's just a beautiful town. There's the Saratoga Lake there. There's the Roosevelt Spas. It used to be a spa because they had the mineral water up there at one time, and people used to go and take treatments.
Do they no longer have mineral water spas?
They still have
it
there. They opened up. They opened up the building. It was built in the 1930s or 40s. They opened it up, and you can go in. There's a big tub they fill with the water, and you're floating in the water. They have massages there. You can have your hair done, your nails done. Very, very reasonable.
And some nice nature there, and some beautiful parks, a historic carousel. And I have to give a plug to the racetrack. I was in Saratoga as a high schooler. I did a summer program at Skidmore. And, and we actually went to the racetrack, and it's a heck of a lot of fun. I mean, it's
a really beautiful
track.
I'm going there this August, even though it's quite expensive, but I'm going for the weekend for the Travers.
Yeah, well, thank you for calling that in. What a good suggestion. I think Saratoga, it should be on our radar.
Pauline, do you have to gamble if you're going to go to the track at Saratoga, or can you just go as a spectator?
You can just go as, like, at any course.
I've never been to the track. I don't know.
Really?
Really? Well, I'm not a gambler. I didn't know you couldn't go if we weren't gambling.
Oh, yeah. You just go and watch the races. And in high school, I couldn't have legally gambled anyway. So we were just there to watch. But it's exciting. It's fun.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right. We have to take another break. Let me remind everybody, we want to chat with you. Don't be shy. The number, once again, is 800-848-9222, and we will be back in a flash.
This is the Frommer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com. And the other thing you got to do, you got to call us, 800-848-9222. We want to hear from you. We were so happy to hear from Joe in Paterson, New Jersey. Hey, Joe, you are live. Joe, are you there? Oh, I guess we don't have Joe. All right, well, let's move on to Carol in Manhattan. Carol, are you there?
I'm absolutely here.
Great.
Thanks for taking my call. I look forward to your show every week. I had one's a comment, one's a question. You had a caller a few minutes ago who said he couldn't get on board because his passport didn't have the middle initial and his other information did, and they wouldn't let him on the plane. I had something similar even before I got to the plane, very briefly, a business trip through a company where they had put my name down, and then they contacted me for the business trip. There were other people, and then I had to give my passport information to the airline, and that's when the problem happened because the company that gave me the business trip didn't have my middle initial.
That happens a lot. If someone else books your travel, how can you change it, you know?
Oh, it was, let me tell you something, it was ridiculous. It's just as ridiculous as you might imagine. So the message is really try to get all your stuff, remember where you put your initial.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said you had two things. So that
yes,
I'm actually really glad that we're discussing this today, because this seems to be a problem. It's not one I've encountered, but obviously some of our listeners have, and it's good to be reminded. What was the second thing?
The second thing is traveling with nowadays, especially overseas, with medications. Let's say you take, let's say, six medications a day, and you're going for a week. Is it better to keep the medications in little bottles with the names of the medicine, or to separate them, let's say, to 5 days in little plastic bags? Do you have to identify the medication, or how likely is it that they're going to give you some problems?
Well, Carol, there are two questions. How likely is it? They're not very likely, depending on where you go. You know, someplace like United Kingdom or the EU, they really are not going to be looking at your medications unless you're carrying some extremely, you know, dangerous stuff. They don't search your bags. If you're going to a place like the United Arab Emirates, they're very strict about even sleeping pills there. And there's a whole list of all these medications you can't have, including some things that are used to treat depression that you wouldn't think twice about. In all cases, though, you asked at first, you know, what's safest? Safest is to keep them in their original bottles, so that, you know, with the stickers on, so there's not a confusion about whether you're trying to smuggle something or if it's your medication. And the second thing is even smarter, is carry a prescription with you if you can. I know a lot of us get them electronically transmitted to our pharmacists,
really,
but if you can print it.
In New York, you can just carry this thing from the drugstore or whatever, you know.
I know, but when you're going through a checkpoint in another country where they're not going to be sympathetic to that technology, it's just get a printed copy if you can, even if it says it's been filled and it's not something you can actually use. It's just something that proves that you do have a legal right to that medication. But I would definitely leave it in the bottle if you're worried about the legality or being hassled, for sure.
Yeah,
okay, well, that's the answer I was trying to find out. So thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you for calling, Carol. We appreciate it. And I hear that Joe is now back. Hey, Joe, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. Good to speak with you.
Great show, and I agree with that lady who called before. You two, your personalities are great. And my question is, I'm thinking about going to Mexico. I used to go there every year, but I haven't been to Playa del Carmen and Isla Mujeres in 20 years. And I left it 20 years ago. Has it changed much?
Yes, in a word, yes. Think about maybe Miami. Or
really?
It's pretty built up now. If it used to be natural and isolated, it's not that anymore. It's a lot of resorts. Pretty much, I would say every inch of coastline is now has a big resort fronting it, with a few exceptions. If you want unspoiled Mexico, I think there are better places to go.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Mexico travel there is booming. They're adding 150 million seats for 2019. I was just reading, and I love Mexico. I think there are places that are probably like Playa del Carmen was 20 years ago, but they ain't Playa del Carmen anymore.
Yeah, is Isla Mujeres? I mean, has that been built up too?
Where is that? I'm sorry? Isla Mujeres?
Isla Mujeres, the island off of Cancun.
Yeah, a little bit less. I mean, what happened with Playa del Carmen is you had this enormous boom of travel into Cancun. Cancun is such a fascinating experiment in tourism, because the Mexican government decided to find the perfect place to create a resort city. And they actually used early versions of the computer to do so. And they plugged in a bunch of things, and they found Cancun, which was a dusty a fishing village before they decided to pour money into it and create this resort community. Well, then Cancun got overbuilt, and so they created this highway that shot out and went to Playa del Carmen and other places, and inevitably more and more and more resorts were added, more tourists came, and now it's kind of there's still reasons to go. I mean, the beach is beautiful. There actually are some interesting theme parks based on Mexican culture. There's one called Xel-Há, where they have representatives of every part of Mexico performing and in little villages. So, for example,
yeah, I've been there.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It's amazing. Sure was.
Yeah, there were these dancers. Have you ever seen this, Jason? They would climb up these tall poles and attach ropes to their feet, and then they would dive off these poles and kind of do these twisting dances in the air. I'm not sure what area of Mexico that's from, but you'll see it in Xel-Há.
I remember climbing up the pyramids. That was easy. The rough part was coming down. And, you know, that was in America. You'd be signing so many release forms, and there'd be so many lawyers hanging out around there. I'd be crazy.
You're no longer allowed to climb those pyramids. You can in other parts of Mexico, but no longer at Chichen Itza. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Probably because of what you're talking about and damage. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for calling, Joe. And Jason, you're in Orlando. We should talk about that because that's one of the biggest tourist attractions in the world.
I am. I'm at a big resort. It's about 500 acres. You know, there's still some big resorts in Orlando. It's not like the Florida Project, wherever you look. You know, I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it takes place in a motel. This is a huge area with a golf course and fishing and, you know, a lazy river, and it's like a world unto itself. And there are three or four of these types of resorts all around. This one is called Grand Lakes. I'm also covering the theme parks. There's, you know, this, as you said, it's I think it's 72-73 million people went last year.
Wow.
Not just for leisure travel, but also for conventions, which I guess, you know, that is a lot of leisure at night.
Yeah.
So it's America's number one. It's incredibly popular because it isn't just about rides and amusement parks. It is about places like this where you can fly fish and swim.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the amusement parks, because I thought it's interesting. A lot of people who haven't been to Disney in a couple of years don't know this, but I think this is actually a really good innovation to the vacation experience there. You can now be waiting online to do an amusement park ride, and you go into your Disney app, or is it the app, or it might be another way of doing it, and you can order a meal at a place nearby, so you don't have to be on a line there.
It is called My Disney Experience is the official app name, but the locals call it MDX. And you can say, I'm hungry, I want to order food, and you look at the available restaurants nearby, and you look at the menu and the prices, and you put together an order, and then you say, I'll pick it up when I'm ready. And you order it, and it charges your card. And when you're ready, you go to the restaurant, you click a button that says, I'm here, and within 2 minutes or so, because I tried it last night, your food's right in front of you, and you don't have to wait in that long line trying to figure out what you want, you know, standing. You just grab it, and then you go sit down. It's a great innovation when it works, because, of course, you have to have Wi-Fi or some sort of signal, which isn't always something you can have. So I'm a real fan of it. They also have it now at Disneyland out west as well. But Disney World, you could find 5, 6, 7 restaurants in each park where they do that now. Not everyone is aware of it. There's a special window. You don't have to wait in the line when you get there. You just tell them your number, and off you go. It's great.
Do they have it at Universal too?
I don't think they have it quite yet at Universal, but they don't have the problem with lines for restaurants the way they do at Disney. Disney is a bit more intense. Universal has other things it's doing with waiting virtually for the actual attraction, where you can put, I would like to go, and they say, okay, come back in 45 minutes, and then you walk right in. So you can do something else rather than wait in line. So they're all coming up with really interesting ways to do away with the line. I guess so you can go spend some more money while you're, you know, not waiting in a big queue.
Yeah.
Disney's doing a lot of interesting things. You know, for years they were famous for having that monorail, which it exists, you know, between two of the parks. But I think they've just found it too expensive to expand. They have four major parks now, but the monorail only goes to two of them. I've been told because it costs $1 million to build just a segment between two columns. $1 million, $1 million, $1 million. And so they said, we can't build any more of those. We're going to try to figure something else out. And there's a bus system, which is one of the biggest bus systems in the state of Florida. And even that's overrun. You have to stand while you're waiting to go in between the parks. You have to, you know, when you're on the bus, you may not have a seat. So they're coming up with different ways. One thing they're now building, which I find very odd, is one of those types of alpine ski trams that goes on a wire over, you know, in the sky. It's like a gondola system.
Yeah, sure.
And they're building one of those that goes between two parks and a few resorts that'll be ready probably by the end of this year. It's called the Skyliner. And it'll fit a lot of people on. It'll have air conditioning and probably, you know, you'll hear Mickey's voice saying, here we go. I find it strange because there's lightning in Florida. So I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work all summer long. And the other thing that's interesting they're doing is they're adding more cars, but if you, there's a special Lyft system. If you open LYFT, that app, that's like Uber, on your phone, when you're in Walt Disney World, something comes up called a minivan, which is M-I-N-N-I-E, like mouse. And that, for $20, you can share this cute little, I forget what it is, a Mini Cooper or something, painted with white with polka dots, and you could go anywhere you want in the resort for $20. Now, an actual Lyft without the Disney branding would be cheaper, but it's their way of trying to get people around quicker, make a little extra money in the process. So now, in addition to the buses and this new Skyliner, you're seeing these little polka dot lifts flying all around the resort with people spending a little bit more to get there faster. It's a fascinating situation, but I'm not sure it's as technologically advanced as Disney used to be.
Right, right. Interesting. Well, we have to take another break. Al, we will take you as soon as we get back. Anybody else who wants to call, the number is 800-848-9222. Before we go to break, let me remind you that our partner, Allianz Travel Insurance, doesn't only have your back, they also are going to help make your vacation better. How are they going to do that? In the best way possible. They are going to give you information from Frommer's. So now when you sign up for a policy, you will get information for 24 or so cities on the best places to go, the best places to eat, the best places to stay, how to put together an itinerary, and much, much more. To learn more about Allianz Travel Insurance, their policies, and this nice perk, go to allianztravelinsurance.com. That's allianz travelinsurance.com.
The most popular destinations for you and your family, right here. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
This show is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit A-L-L-I-A-N-Z, travelinsurance.com. And let's get back to the phones. For anybody who'd like to call us, 800-848-9222 is our number. That is the number that the very patient Al called. Al, we thank you for waiting through the commercials. What's on your mind?
How are you?
Good.
I wanted to speak a little bit about going to Croatia. I'm going to be going to Rome and some parts of Italy. I'm going to have some time. Just want to know what your thoughts were. I understand there's a ferry or boat you can take over from a part of Italy to Croatia, and then maybe some of your thoughts on where to stay in Croatia.
Well, okay, Croatia, I would recommend that you have a car if you can, because the rail system up and down the Croatian coast is not, there isn't one really, not just because they didn't build one, but also because, you know, about 20 years ago, as you remember, there was a lot of trouble over there. But I will say the coast of Croatia is one of the most beautiful parts of the Mediterranean. That part of the Adriatic Sea is so clear that when you stand on the coast, you can see very easily the contours of the bottom of the water. The sailboats look like they're flying. A number of the big places that people like to go on the coast, one is Split. The main thing to see in Split is called Diocletian's Palace. It was built, I think, in the 300s by a Roman emperor, and it's still used today, not as a palace, but that's where people live. They've now, it's part of the town. They occupy all the different rooms where the emperor and his military used to live. And it's a beautiful – it was one of the very first things that UNESCO inscribed on the World Heritage List in the 70s. Up and down the coast, too, there's little towns like Zadar and Zibenik and Trogir. They all have really gorgeous old cathedrals with these faces carved on the facades, very whimsical, interesting architecture. And if you go all the way down the coast, of course, you come to Dubrovnik, which, again, is one of the jewels of the Mediterranean. It's an ancient walled city that kind of juts out into the water. It gets very crowded during the day when the cruise ships show up. But at night, when they're gone, you walk these polished marble streets, and it's really, truly magical. I mean, there's lots of wonderful stuff to see up and down the coast of Croatia. But like I said, driving is a little better.
And to answer your ferry question, I think that most people take the ferry from Bari to Dubrovnik. That seems to be the classic way
Split
to do
some,
it.
Split has some as well. You can take it Split and Kona. But you don't need to take a ferry. You can just go around the top of Italy and come down around. It's not very far through Slovenia. I mean, it's around the top part of the Adriatic. It's not that long.
Oh, okay.
And you go through the Istria, which is famous for its olives, and the town of Rovinia is a beautiful, picturesque harbor town. You get to see a lot. Go through Trieste, and you'll get there.
You know, Slovenia apparently is experiencing a tourism boom because it's the home country of Melania Trump. And so a lot of people are going there to see what her background was like.
Sure. It was doing really well as a destination for about 8 or 10 years now. People are always surprised at Slovenia, what a civilized, interesting, kind of young and fresh country it is for that part of the world. So you only pass through Slovenia very quickly, though. I think about 20 minutes of your trip around the coast will be through Slovenia.
Sorry, Al, what were you saying?
Well, I was asking about hotels and in order to stay, just
they have
plan
them.
It out. I'm sure they, there's...
Yeah.
Tons. You know, Croatia, 20 years ago, there was nothing. Now the coast of Croatia is so popular with Europeans. In fact, they've already been there, done that. So there's tons of places to stay. You're not going to find it difficult to find a gorgeous waterfront place to stay in any city that you pick along
the
coast.
We have a book, Fromer's Easy Guide to Croatia, that you should
pick
up. Yeah, and you'll get a lot of advice there. The one thing that you do have to worry about in Croatia, as Jason was saying, the Europeans, the rest of Europe goes there to party. And so there are a couple of towns where it's really all about the nightlife nowadays. And if you're not into that scene, you may want to go elsewhere. But you'll find that advice in the book.
Good.
All right. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Time,
Thank
Al.
You so
yeah, you should go. Definitely go.
Let's move on to Barbara. Barbara is calling from Westfield, New Jersey. Hey, Barbara, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Nice to speak with you.
And likewise. My niece is planning to get married in 2019. She cannot spend a lot of money on the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So she has told me that there are islands like Aruba and the Bahamas where you can get a package. And it's much less expensive than having a wedding in the United States.
It can be, absolutely. Jamaica, more so than I would think Aruba or the Bahamas. That's kind of like wedding central in the Caribbean. And a lot of the big resorts there have staff who all they do is set up weddings. Now, for the really inexpensive ones, it may be a very small wedding. It may happen around lunchtime rather than before dinner. I mean, it really depends on how she works it, because they have it down to a fine art. But all of these big resorts have wedding packages that they will sell you. You might also look at the Dominican Republic if cost is an issue, because prices there tend to be on the low side for the Caribbean.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right.
Well, thank you for calling, Barbara, and congratulations to your niece. We have to take one more break. Let me remind everybody that we want to hear from you. We still have a couple of minutes left in this show. The number is 800-848-9222. Don't turn that dial. We will be right back.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
Okay, we have just a couple of minutes left, but if you call us right now, we should be able to squeeze in your question. 800-848-9222 is the number. That's 800-848-9222. I don't want to get too inside baseball on this show, but there was an interesting business development in the travel industry this week. Silver Sea Cruises was bought in, the Royal Caribbean took a majority share in Silver Sea Cruises. For people who don't know what Silver Sea is, it's a very luxurious, small cruise line. And it kind of, the people in the travel industry see this as being a sign that shifting interests in cruising, of the fact that nowadays it's big business, these small boats. I know you've been on Viking River cruises, which are kind of a smaller version of a cruise.
Viking Ocean cruises.
Did you see that? I mean, is it getting a different type of demographic?
Well, I'll tell you, Viking Ocean Cruises is just this week named its fifth ship in 3 years. So it sort of underscores what you're saying. There's a big boom happening in the small luxury area of cruising because there's demand.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, I think it's a lot of reasons. You know, I don't think that cruising has the stigma it had two generations ago. I think that people are looking to explore at a certain time of life now more than they used to at 25, 30 years ago. And I think people who grew up on other cruises, more mass market cruises, are ready to graduate to something a little bit more maybe subdued.
Personal. Yeah,
so there's
absolutely
a lot of things coming together at one time here. And plus, Europe has just boomed. And a lot of these ships are going either to Europe or even the Chinese market.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to the phones. We have Warren from Washington, New Jersey. Hey, Warren, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, it's a beautiful day here.
It is.
I'm on the phone.
We're on the radio.
That's right. I'm heading to Argentina for business. I'm going to be based in Buenos Aires, with the a rep I have with my company. And other than, you know, he and I were joking around. I said, when I get there, I'd like to have one of those late dinners and a tango with some woman I've never met.
Okay, good for you.
I'm looking for other things to do around that area because I'm probably going to be extending this trip as I usually do. And I'm thinking, what would you recommend?
Argentina is such a rich place to visit, and there are low-cost flights, meaning you could hop around the country. I was just in Patagonia. I was on mm-hmm. the Chilean side, but the Argentinian side is just as extraordinary. You see glaciers calving and penguins, or you could go up to the Pampas region where the Argentinian cowboys are, where all that good meat comes from in Argentina. Or you could head to Mar del Plata, which is about 2.5 hours from Buenos Aires, a beautiful old-fashioned beach resort, very Art Deco in its looks. It's where the Argentinians themselves go to vacation. It's such a rich country.
How are their airfares and the airlines?
The peso is pretty weak against the dollar. So you have that in your favor. Jason, do you have any suggestions to add on to all that?
I was just going to say, you know, I work on the website. I'm the editor of our website, and we just put up a political Buenos Aires story about all the places that Eva Perón and the Peronistas are still left in town. So you can have a look at that if you want to look around town at some of the history of Buenos Aires.
Absolutely. And as far as dining, do you have any suggestions?
Meat, and more meat. This is a country that has the finest steaks in all of the world. So you definitely want to indulge in that way, and it won't be so expensive thanks to the exchange rate. I see we have one more call. We're going to try and squeeze it in. Thanks for calling, Warren. Let's turn to Andy in North Bergen, New Jersey. Andy, you've got about a minute.
Okay. Hey, Pauline and Jason, thanks for your show.
Sure.
Hey, quick question. I booked a trip to Best of Portugal on Trafalgar Tours, and I put a deposit down just on Friday. So they told me I'm on a wait list. They don't know. They'll let me know by Wednesday.
Yeah.
Should I have to worry? I may not get on because I didn't book any other trip.
Well, why not just go to Portugal? I mean, it's an easy country. Absolutely,
yeah,
without the tour.
Easy.
It's an easy country to visit. You can base yourself in Lisbon. From there, on public transportation, you can go off to the beach on trains. You can go to nearby towns like Sintra and see the history there. You can see all of Lisbon in a week. I think it's a country you really can do on your own. I'm hearing music.
Okay,
we have to say goodbye.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we thank you so much for calling. Hope you get off the wait list, but maybe not. I think he might enjoy it better on his own. And to those who are traveling, may we wish you a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.